morning here, just a little bit here in, I'm going to start in chapter 4 and verse 23 for a few minutes, and we're going to be in the Sermon on the Mount for a little bit, and I want to kind of give you a picture of kind of what's going on here, because sometimes we can jump right into a piece on the Sermon on the Mount and really not know what's really going on, and I think this is important. This is an important piece. Let me just say, when Jesus was here on the earth, he didn't force anybody to listen to him. Didn't have to. People just, they just came to him. Of course, the enemy is always in the midst. We just finished up a spiritual warfare piece last week, but the enemy is always in the midst. Jesus kept on doing what he was supposed to do. And this world was a mess back then. We always think it's a mess now, but I'm telling you, it was a mess back then. There was no hope. For the Gentile, there was no hope. And here it is. He's here and he's doing ministry. And right here in the beginning of Matthew, he says here in verse 23 of Matthew chapter 4, Jesus went throughout Galilee teaching in the synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness among the people. News about him spread all over Syria, and people brought to him all who were ill with various diseases, those suffering severe pain, the demon-possessed, those having seizure, and the paralyzed, and he healed them. Large crowds from Galilee, Decapolis, Jerusalem, Judea, and the region all across Jordan followed him. And then it says, now when he saw the crowds, he went up to the mountainside, and he sat down, and his disciples came to him, and he began to teach them. And then it goes into this great piece of the Sermon on the Mount. The crowds were there wanting to listen to something of hope. They came, all those who were ill, all those who were sick, and all those who were just, they had a life that was messed up. And they were willing to come and travel for this hope, to see hope in their life in this moment. Because as you look at the temples and these synagogues all over, they weren't really helping people. They were putting more on people. Did you hear what I said? They're putting more on people. Some of our churches do that. We put weight on the people. And the church should be a place where people can come and worship God. But even those, if you got your act together, well, praise the Lord. But if you don't, make room for someone who don't. Make room for someone who don't. Because you were there one time too. They may not have the privilege of growing up into a Christian home like maybe some of us had. They might be the first generation to come to hear the gospel. They might be the first person in their family to come to receive Christ. And we need to make room for people. We need to make room for people. And what we see, it isn't how, you know, we want to work on our buildings, and we're doing that this week again. And big buildings are hard to keep up on. But buildings, they need to look good. But sometimes they can look too good. Sometimes they can look too good where other people just don't want to come. Because I won't fit. They make judgments, whether it's wrong or right. Lost people's going to make judgments. And sometimes it could be too good. And spend all the money on the repairs and not just repairs, but changing out things that don't need to be changed out and not using any of it for evangelism or outreach or ministry or missions. Jesus has this piece here in Matthew chapter 7 that he's going to share, and it's something they never heard before. They never heard this before. Because I said the Sadducees and the Pharisees and all them, they just put weight on people. And they're going to hear some things for the very first time. That's why nobody can preach like Jesus. Nobody can preach like Christ. I don't care how good preachers are, nobody can preach like Jesus. But he's going to say some things that are going to knock out some people just in a way that they never heard. And he goes into, there's a lot there, but it's in chapter 7. In verse 7. And it's not a normal piece. It's just not normal. And he says in verse 7, he says, ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and the door will be opened to you. It just blew everybody away. You mean I can ask? I'm to seek, I'm to knock. Ask and it will be given to you. Now, there would be probably some people in the crowd that wants to ask for things that are just not what he's talking about. But there was people there that were flocking there with some things going on in their life, and they needed some answers. They needed a miracle, and I'm telling you, Jesus still does miracles today. We just don't look for them. We just don't see them. They happen right in front of us all the time. Let me tell you, the same God that was back then in Genesis is the same God we serve today. What's amazing is now that we are walking around and we have no excuse to be all that God's called us to be. We have no excuse to be what Jesus has called us to be because God has put inside of us the Holy Spirit. That is God's Spirit. And God's Spirit shows and convicts and leads and guides and speaks to us. And there's no excuse for us not to be all that God's called us to be. The church across the United States is hurting because we're not being the church. We're not allowing the Holy Spirit to lead. We have people leading. And people, when people lead without the Holy Spirit, it's going always going down the wrong road. Holy Spirit wants to lead us in the ways of the Lord. And here he says, Jesus tells a crowd, the uneducated people, the hurting people, the poor, whatever it is, he says, ask and it will be given to you. Who are these people he's talking to? People that showed up. People that showed up. If something was given free around the corner, you don't get it unless you show up. And here it is. They showed up and they heard the great teaching and this peace that Jesus says, you ask and it will be given to you. Ask and it will be given to you. We know that James says you have not because you ask not. And if you ask with wrong motives to get what you get, to spend upon yourself. We understand that. That's speaking to those Christians who are going in the wrong direction. But here it is. Seeking the will of God in your life is a lifetime commitment. Always trying to be down the main line of God's will. And that's where you're going to be all that God's called you to be. That's where you're going to be. And he's calling the people out to ask. 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 What is it that you're asking from God today? Now, there are some things that we can do in our own resources and our own talents and our own gifts and some of the tools that we have. We are to use those things in the right way and the proper way, but there are things that's going to happen in your life where you're going to need to ask God to intervene. You're going to need to ask God to intervene. And when you ask God to intervene, I always say, listen, where is your life with Christ today? Now, it doesn't mean it has to be A1 right down the lane of God's will and all that, because sometimes people are repenting out of the pig pen. Some people are coming out of the prodigal son lifestyle, right? Oh, I need to get up and I need to go back to God. That's it. So we ask for that forgiveness and we move forward and we go back. God answers that. But I want to tell you, God answers prayer. God answers prayer. We're just not praying big enough. This is why we don't have testimonies, because we're doing something. Lord, bless my food. We need to do those things. Lord, help us have a good blessed day today. And we go on and we move on. And we didn't really see God move that day. Even he did. But we need to be asking and we need to be specific on what we're praying for. So when he answers it, we can give him the praise and glory for it. We're not praising him and glorifying him and praise and worship to him in our own time because we have nothing to thanking for, because we can't remember even what we prayed for. And this is what Jesus is saying here is, and through the whole Sermon on the Mount, this piece here, God wants a relationship with you. And there's a specific way he does it, and it is through Jesus Christ. And the guidance of his Holy Spirit and the Word of God that feeds us spiritual food, it is that, and following the ways of his Word. He says, ask and it will be given to you. If you seek, he says, you're going to find. You get busy about the things of God and you're going to find. I don't know what God wants me to do. Well, start seeking it. I don't know what God wants me to do. A, B, or C. Well, start seeking it. Start moving. Get involved. Do those things, because the very next thing it says, knock and the door will be open to you. God opens doors and God closes doors. There's other scripture that says God can open doors that no one can open, and he can close doors that no one can open. Jesus holds keys to death and Hades and everything. He is a key holder. He is a master key holder. He holds everything. And we are to seek those things, and we are to knock on the door. That means we need to be progressive. We need to be moving. We just can't sit there like a bump on a log and expect God to do everything. We must do what we can do with the resources and the talents that he gives to us, and go out there, and when we get to those places, we call upon his name because we know we're at a place that we cannot move forward without him interceding. God wants to be a part of those decisions and choices in your life. How many of you believe God can do amazing things? Amen. I'm telling you, and you got to have faith behind it. You have to have faith behind it. You can't jump on someone else's faith. I'm telling you, you just can't. You got to ride that wave out of life yourself with God, and your faith has to be there. You can be alongside people for a moment, but in the end, it's going to be you and Christ. And what do you believe? What is your faith? He says, for everyone who asks receives. And he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, the door will be open. To the immature Christian, this looks like, well, why is it God didn't answer my prayer? Because as an immature Christian, we believe that God's answer is always yes. Hello? God's answer is always yes. God's answer isn't always yes. It's not always no, but it's over here. Or it's over there. Or it's the right thing, it's the wrong timing. Wrong timing, right thing. But there's a place that he is. What does all that do when it feels like we don't know which way to go? What it means is we need to cool our jets and we need to pray. We need to process that. Listen, when you're asking and you're seeking and you're knocking, what are you doing mostly? You're praying. And you're making decisions. And you're praying about those decisions. And when you see a door close, you say, okay, the Lord closed that door. Nope, the Lord closed that door. But then the Lord opens up a door. The Lord opens up a door, and when you know it, you know it. How do you know that it's a door he opened? How do you know? Because you've been working all this, and you've been working with him, watching him do these things, and you're seeing it. It's not that you just seen it out of the blue. It comes, and he shows you by showing you closed doors, closed door, an open door. We try to open doors, and that's okay. We can try those, and if it doesn't open, we don't try to pull it open. Because when God opens the door, it swings open, I'm telling you. It swings open. And when it swings open, and it's almost like we had no effort. We didn't have to do anything. He shows us what he can do and his mighty power. He says, oh, if you ask, you receive. You may not receive what you're asking for, but there'll be an answer to that, what you asked for. And you've received an answer. And then the mature Christian sees that. The immature Christian doesn't. They need to keep growing. But the seasoned Christian sees that. And the seasoned Christian, as though sometimes it is very difficult, has to accept it. And sometimes accepting it is very difficult. But either way it goes, whichever way it goes, I'm going to tell you, there is something about when you ask for something and it comes back to you, not maybe in the right answer you wanted, or it does, whichever the way it is, however it works out, you know that there is something inside of you, it's the Holy Spirit, and there is a peace about it. The spiritual seasoned Christian knows what it feels like to have peace in the greatest storms of their life. And they know no matter what's going on around them, there is this one part that nothing is being shaken. Everything else is around is just tearing life apart, but there's something inside of you that is just as calm can be. And you know what it is, and it is Holy Spirit. Now he's going to see you through no matter what. He's going to see you through. So you seek for the answers. And he says, when you seek, you'll find. And you'll find sometimes something you don't want to find. That God's not calling you to do this, but God's calling you to do this. Woo. That just changed everything about my life. I want him to do this, but he calls you to preach. He want to do this, but he calls you to teach. I want to do this, but he calls you to go to this church. And the immature Christian just tries to force what they want. But the seasoned Christian takes it and has to say sometimes goodbye to people that they love. and wrap arms around them and say, I love you, it's been great serving, but God's called me to do this. And it'll feel like you're alone, but there are new people out there that God says, that you don't even know yet, that they're going to love on you, going to be a part of it, but you got to go out there, and God wants you to serve over there. Or give up an occupation, a job that you love, and then that you thought that's what was going to be you. That's what I thought for me. But God calls and just throws a curveball in there and just, woo, what was that? And it changes your whole life. So when you're seeking, let me tell you, sometimes you're going to find something that doesn't look like what you were seeking. But if God's in it, that's where you need to be. Amen? And then when you knock on those doors, sometimes we love to force a door open. We really want it to work. We think that's the peace. That's going to be the peace and the answer for all what I've been doing. This is it. And we try to pry that thing open. We take a crowbar. We try to blast it open. We want to cut it open. And it is not budging. Because if God seals a door, he seals a door. But I believe sometimes if you've tried to force it open enough, sometimes God says, okay, go on down that road and see how far that takes you. And we end up in a mess. We end up in a mess. And let me tell you something. I've had this been thrown at me a few years back. When somebody is married, and they turn around and say, well, I think God's calling me to leave this marriage to go get with this man or this woman. Let me tell you, that's not godly. Or we're going to live together, and we're going to do our thing, and God says he's going to bless us, and we don't have to get married. Let me tell you. You got to get our words. The more we speak, the more we mess it up. Let's get to the Word of God and let him lead. And he's going to show us how to do life. Okay? He's going to show. I'm really struggling with what's going on here in our country right now with marijuana being legalized. I believe it's a gateway drug. I do. Me and my wife talk about it from time to time. And it becomes legal. Could you just imagine all the stuff that's going to implicate? I'm going to still say it's wrong. I don't care what the law says. I'm going to say it's wrong. It's messing with your mind. Your mind's being altered. That's not a good thing. And people are going to want to be on staff. People want to be hired. I said, I'm marijuana. I smoke. You smoke marijuana? Oh, I do for enjoyment. We go out to the campground and we do this and that. I'm just telling you, the Word of God answers all of our questions. Amen. It is the peace that will lead us through dark hallways and dark nights. It is the path. So he comes in and he says, to him who knocks, the door will be open. Of course, God can seal it shut, but he'll open it from time to time just so he'll teach us a lesson. But also, God sometimes will allow doors to close, and he will open up a door, and it'll be a door that one many times we want to run through, but other times we are caught. We are like, I don't want to go through there, Lord. As with Jonah or other, we don't want to do that. We don't want to go there. We don't want to do that one thing. And we know that this, you know, how do you know that God's opened the door? Because his Holy Spirit testifies and tells you, walk forward, walk forward. To many of these people, it was this, I need a healing. I need these demonic out of me. I want to see. I want to hear. I want this disease to go away. This is my hope. And the problem today is people are not flocking to Jesus like they used to. But it also be reminded that Jesus says, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail. So God is building his church. But they're not flocking to the church. Because the world has, well, Satan has blinded their eyes. And we are not letting the light shine like we ought to. Let me tell you, I know some pastors that have told me, goes into a church and says, what's your evangelism plan? There's the door. If they want to come, they can come. Well, I'm telling you, that plan's not working. That plan don't work in any church unless you just say, unless you're preaching another gospel. Because God doesn't answer in the way we always want. He doesn't always give us in the things that we in our flesh desires. There is a God's plan. But he says in verse 9, which of you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? God loves to give. God loves to give. And it's not what we would think always immaterialistic things, but God loves to give peace to those who don't have peace. He loves to give a calmness to those who are always restless. He is searching for those in those churches who are more about his business than their own business. Listen, I tell people all the time, I'm replaceable, but he's not. You're replaceable, but he's not. God's word, all other books can help you, but they're all replaceable, but this is not. God's word is not replaceable. God is not replaceable. There's going to be a time when we're just not going to be here, and that somebody else is going to take the reins. I ask, are you okay with that? Are you okay with that? Because make sure your relationship is not with the church. Make sure your relationship, the greatest relationship that you have, is not with the church. It's not with the ministry. It's not with certain things. It is with Jesus Christ himself. So that you'll be okay wherever you go. And you'll have a peace wherever you go. So he said, he comes back, and when we read that part there, it says, who showed up? It says this, those who had various diseases. Sometimes in churches, we want to tell people, because there's been people that have come to this church that said, I was told to leave a church across town. I asked why. Because I had this rock and roll t-shirt on. That's two people, two young men I know that were asked to leave churches because they're, listen, lost people don't know how to act. They just live the way they live. You think Jesus stood on a mountainside and said, listen, you need to go home and get yourself right. You need to go home and get yourself right before you come. No. They were coming here when they were all messed up. Now, one thing I know about Jesus, he'll take you the way you are, but he won't leave you the same. And who else? They showed up, the demon-possessed. Oh, we don't talk about that in church anymore. But we got to here because we deal with it. The churches don't want to deal with that. Southern Baptists struggle with that more than about anything. And people who had seizures makes everybody feel uncomfortable. You know, in the times this was written, leprosy was the worst thing you possibly could probably get, a flesh-eating disease. They were not only not allowed to go in church or even stand outside the church, they put them outside of town and put them on the edge of town. You got to go over there. And I think sometimes our churches do that, but they won't say it out loud, but our churches, we kind of do that. And then what happens is somebody makes a comment on how their kids said a swear word, or their kids did something, or their husband said something, or they weren't dressed right, or whatever. You think they want to come back? This was all the people that were shunned, that weren't allowed to go to the temple. These were all the outcasts. These were the nobodies. And even when somebody would come to Jesus that had stature, that had position, they would still come and honor Jesus when they needed something. That's when the centurion came to Jesus and says, I got to serve the sick. He needs you. Jesus said, I'll come. He said, no, you just say the word. And that very hour, that individual was healed. And it was a person who wasn't even a Hebrew or Jew. And Jesus turned and looked. He says, I've never found faith like this in all of Israel. You see, when you're hurting, and you know you're hurting, and you go to that lad that, listen, I need something, and nothing else is fixing it. When you reach out to Jesus, it's with all you got. Let me tell you, he don't hand you back nothing. When you come with faith, you don't get nothing back. And I want to tell you, sometimes we will take a beating as a believer. We will take a beating as a believer. But don't you put the bat down now. We're in baseball season. Don't you put the bat down. And you struck out 25 times. Don't you put the bat down. Don't you quit. You keep swinging. You keep swinging. I was on the mound in high school. I say this story, I don't like it because I was on the bad end of it. But I was pitching in high school at Wayne High School. Here up here in Fort Wayne, this is my junior year, pitching a game, and it was a rough game, and it was a team that was pretty much getting beat by everybody, and I was like, oh man, there's two outs, bases were loaded, I got myself into a hole, and it's like, okay, I got this guy here, he strikes out all the time, he hasn't got a hit all year. I threw that thing right down the middle, and I knew it, I was like, oh my gosh, he's got to miss it, and he hit that thing, and it was a grand slam, and I was like, oh my gosh. But let me tell you, I knew, because you look at the stats of the people that are coming up to hit, and I was like, okay, this guy, he goes up and he swings, he strikes out every time. And when he hit that, I want to tell you, when I saw on his face, now on my face it wasn't good, but I saw his face, he was smiling from ear to ear. And he didn't run around those bases. I'm telling you, he just kind of slightly walked quickly because he was going to embrace that thing. And the crowd roared, and all that. And of course, my time for pitching was up. Had to put, time for me to go to the bench. But I watched that guy go around, and he'd throw his hands up. I'm telling you, sometimes if you keep striking out, you keep striking out, you keep swinging, because too many people are going back to the bench and pouting and putting their bat down. I'm telling you, you get up and you keep swinging. You keep asking God. You keep asking Him. You sit there and, Lord, let me eat from the crumbs from the table. You keep asking. You keep asking until He tells you no. Until He puts you on something else. You keep asking because, listen, there's not enough people asking big things from God. Not enough. That's why I love Joshua. Hold that sun, Lord. We ain't done fighting. Somebody going to ask me something that big? I am the Creator. I can do that. And God holds the sun back for a man. Because why? Because he asked. Because he asked. Man walks on water. Why? Because he asked. He steps out on faith and he starts walking to Jesus on water. Because he asked. People always talking about, oh, yeah, but he's saying, yeah, but think about the feet that he walked on when his faith was ignited when he walked on that water. Think about that. Because he asked. God loves to give. And let me tell you, the drugs are not stronger than Jesus. The alcohol is not stronger than Jesus. There's nothing stronger than Jesus. Jesus conquered all of it. But you got to let Him be God. You got to let Him be Jesus. You got to let Him be your Savior. If you call Him your Savior, let Him be your Savior. Not just as your salvation, but Savior all the time. Until you go home and He be your Savior face to face. I'm telling you, we serve an awesome God. And our God loves you right where you are. God loves you. But I want to tell you, even for myself, sometimes I'm like, man, I just don't think I'm where God wants me to be. So what do? I have to pull back. I have to keep doing my things that I do in ministry. I have to keep doing those things. But I know what God's calling me to do right now. Can I share what God's calling me to do right now? God wants me to take some more. I've kind of got away from this with all the mission team works. Not your fault, mine. I have kind of neglected something with me and God. Me and God takes walks at the park or down the street. I take my little New Testament, and I don't get sidetracked by anything, and I just read a couple verses, and I pray, and it's kind of like Adam and God in the garden. Nothing sweeter than spending time with God. And I kind of let some things get in the front, and now God's calling me back to that because there's nothing. This is because what it does is the more you're talking to God, the more sensitive you become to His Holy Spirit. You know His voice. And you start to talk to Him about things, and He brings things up. I love God. I love Jesus. I love the Holy Spirit. They're amazing. They're amazing. They never get out of whack. They never get off base. They never go, whoops, we made a mistake. They're always on it. All that stuff, that's my stuff. But I love it because He's so patient. He's so patient. He's so patient. He's always going around picking me back up. Always coming around picking me back up. Because I can't keep up with all that stuff, but He can. Jesus told a crowd of people that didn't know how to do, but they knew they were going. They knew one thing: I'm going to show up. I'm going to see. I want to show up. And He says things, and then all those other pieces in there. But He tells them this. He gets to this piece. He says, "Ask what, and you will receive." What? Nobody ever told me that. And I'm to seek, which means I don't sit on my duff. I got to get busy some. I got to do some stuff. And I'm to knock. That means I'm to be aggressive in this relationship. God's awesome. And he's awesome. He's awesome. Sometimes I think our buildings are just collapsing all the time before us, and we're always working on them. But then Scripture and God, the Holy Spirit reminds me, go back and read about a man named Noah. He ain't have as many people as you've had. Sometimes we're like Solomon and we got it all. We got all the funds, we got all the supplies, we got all the workers, and something immaculate is in standing. But even that fell apart. What do people talk about more today? Solomon's temple or Noah's ark? Nobody's tried to make a replica of Solomon's temple. People are paying to get into a replica of Noah's ark. When we look with fleshly eyes, we're just hurting ourselves. We got to look with spiritual eyes. And Jesus is saying this today. Ask. I'm right here. Seek, and you're going to find it. And you knock. There's a door that's open for you. You just keep knocking. How many of y'all love Jesus this morning? I love him. He's awesome. Jesus is awesome. And I need to stop because I just go keep bragging on it. So let's go ahead and stand this morning.